Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Before we get into the message, every Sunday, I really want you to be encouraged. And sometimes it can be just a phrase or a saying that you can get a lot of mileage out of, you know, just to encourage you on your journey with the Lord. I heard this one this week. Faith always looks forward. It learns from the past but doesn't dwell in the past. It faces the future full of expectancy with faith in God. So let faith move you forward through this week and through this day. This is a little original here. What principles you set in your life determines the future you will enter into. What principles you set in your life is going to determine your future. Principles from the Word or principles from the world? This is the last one. God, good things come to those who believe. Better things come to those who are patient. And the best things come to those who don't give up ever. Okay? I don't believe y'all are a bunch of people that give up. Okay, well, this morning, first of all, I'm so thankful for the men and the women God brings into this ministry and how the Lord seems to fuel us and feed us. And in the last 3 days, I have just wanted more than anything for God's presence to be so evident in my life and everything that I do. And you know how you have those moments in your journey where all of a sudden God just breaks you and you're broken again and you're going, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. And sometimes you can get down on yourself a little bit. But I feel like today God wants to challenge you and he wants to challenge me to be people of God's presence. And what does it mean to live in the presence of God on a daily basis? And I think that that's something that is absolutely available to us. And I believe that if we're going to make it through the days ahead, we have to be a people of his presence. We have to be torchbearers. You see, when God's presence is in your midst, listen, when God's presence is in your midst and you're cultivating it, there is a fire that will come forth through you. It's not based on the building up of something of men. It's based on edifying and giving God all the glory for everything in your life. And when that begins to happen in your life, you are a fire. You are a torch. You begin to reflect who he is. And that's why it's so important that you and I stay in his presence. This week, there's been three thoughts that's been running through my head. And one was Jonah. Everybody knows the story of Jonah. And if you want to turn there, Jonah, chapter 1, 2, and 3. Of course, Jonah was running from the presence of God. He wasn't running to God. He was running from God's presence. And it says in verse 2, it says, arise. This is God speaking to Jonah. Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jump over to verse 10. And this is after the men kind of found out who he was. In verse 10 it says, then the men became extremely frightened when they knew who his God was. And they said to him, how could you do this? For the men knew that he was fleeing, and this is key, from the presence of the Lord because he had told them that he was running from God. And so when I speak about the presence, sometimes, you know, of course, in that situation, you see a guy fleeing. He's running. But how many things do we do throughout the day that is almost like running? Because we put more attention to so many other things than being in the presence of God. Some of you might not even know what does it mean to be in the presence of God. To be able to cultivate time so that you can sense that he's with you. And I can say in this ministry, we've had moments that he's touched this ministry. We've had moments where we felt his presence. But I want to say this. I don't believe that we have even come close to what God wants to do when He pours out His glory upon a people or upon a region. Many of you know that our nation is in a crisis. And it's when the people cry out to God that God begins to show up. God said to Jonah, the wickedness has come up to him. Go tell them. I challenge you, are you telling them about who He is? Every moment of every day. And then the Lord had me start thinking about David. And David being a man after God's own heart. I've loved to watch and read and understand the life of David. And I remember as a young man, he always cultivated the presence of the Lord in his life. That's who he was. At an early age. And so I thought about him and said, man, I want to be that guy. I want to be that man after God's own heart. I want to cultivate God's presence. He was the one for ushering in the tabernacle, the presence of the Lord, the Ark of the Covenant. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But I kept thinking about David. I saw Jonah, he ran, but David ran to the presence of the Lord. And then I had this thought, the thought about the Titanic. I said, okay, here we go. The Titanic. Many preachers and people have used the Titanic as an illustration of the condition of the United States of America. And when I started thinking about the Titanic, this all connects for me, hopefully for you too, that they had everything on that ship. They had the best of everything for that time. The best food, the best music. I mean, that ship was supposed to be what? Unsinkable. Wasn't going to happen. They had luxury. Everything was available to them. And you know, living even in our standards today that we're living in, how blessed we are with all that we have. Sometimes we focus on what we don't have, but how blessed are we with all that we have? Just like the Titanic, they were blessed, enjoying it. Fine music, fine food, fine wine. And then all of a sudden they struck something. And those people that were enjoying the luxury, all of a sudden now they were standing on the side of that boat trying to get into a lifeboat. And just moments before, they were enjoying everything. And some of those folks that jumped into the cold, icy water, they jumped in without their families because they couldn't find them. And when they jumped in, they had their arms stretched out, hoping that somebody in a lifeboat would stretch their arms out to them and take them in that lifeboat. All of a sudden, everything that was a pleasure, that was a luxury, what happened? Didn't matter, did it? Not at all. And all they wanted was arms. Jesus is our lifeboat. And Jesus is reaching out to you and He's reaching out to me. And He's wanting us to take hold of Him. He's wanting us to trust Him. Like never before. I just can't tell you the urgency that's in my heart right now. I feel like many times I've let Him down. But you and me, we can't dwell on the mistakes we've made. We just learn from them and go on. We don't have a focus upon people, but we have our focus completely on God. And that's where we need to remain. So if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 13. And today I'm going to talk a little bit about becoming a people of His presence. Jumping in. Experiencing Him. This is a story of King David when he became king over all of Israel. You may know the story. He began to pursue his dream. And what was his dream? To bring the glory and the presence of God in the midst of Israel, right into the midst of the people. That's what he wanted more than anything. He wanted them to experience his presence. And he began to pursue that dream, that thing that was in his heart forever, that he would be able to help have a dwelling place in the midst of the Israelites. Dwelling place in the midst of his people. At that time, the glory of God represented the Ark of the Covenant. How many of you know that? The Ark of the Covenant was where the glory of God rested. You know the Ark and the story of Moses, the Ten Commandments. And now, of course, we have the Lord, we have the Holy Spirit living within us and abiding within us. We're not limited as of the Ark, like the Ark. We have the Holy Spirit. But the Ark was symbolic, but it was also surrounded by the glory of God. God's glory was on that box, on that Ark of the Covenant. And King David dreamed about this, that he'd be able to bring it in. For decades, the Ark was sitting. And so David had a heart as a little boy to see God's glory come in the midst of the people. Now he had an opportunity to bring it in. And there were some powerful lessons that's going to be learned if you look at this 1 Chronicles chapter 13 to teach us in this season. Let me go ahead and go to that and let's get it up on the screen. And we'll read through it. It's a little bit of a tough read, so hang in there with me. You guys all right? Yeah. Okay. Real quiet today, so that's okay. Just don't throw anything at me. Give me warning so I can duck. I just really believe that God is calling us to have a radical separation onto the things of God. And when I say that, there's no judgment coming off this pulpit. There's none condemnation. God just wants you to be radically separated onto him and consecrated onto him. Chapter 13. This is when David didn't get the ark all the way into the presence. We'll pick up on chapter 15 in a minute. Then David consulted with the captains of thousands and the hundreds, even with every leader. That was one of his mistakes right there. You see him consulting more with people than he was with God. David said to all the assembly of Israel, "If it seems good to you, and if it is from the Lord our God, let us send everywhere to our kinsmen, our brethren, who remain in all the land of Israel, also to the priests and the Levites, who are with them in the cities with pasture lands, that they may meet with us." Verse 3, "And let us bring back the ark of our God to us, for we did not seek it in the days of Saul. Then all the assembly said that they would do so, for the things was right in the eyes of all the people. So David assembled all Israel together from the Shehor of Egypt even to the entrance of Hamath to bring the ark of God from Kiriath Jearim. And David and all of Israel went up to Bala, that is, Kiriath Jearim, which belongs to Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God, the Lord who is enthroned above the cherubim, where his name is called, who dwells. Verse 7, they called the ark of God on a new, they carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. David, it's hard getting through them names, man. I hope you're right there with me. David and all of Israel were celebrating before God with their might, with songs. Now they're celebrating with songs, with lyres, harps, stringed instruments, tambourines, cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came to the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark, because the oxen nearly upset it, meaning that they probably stumbled. Now listen to this. The anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah. So he struck him down because he put out his hand to the ark, and he died there before God. Remember how we learned a little bit about justice last week? This will make sense in a minute. But David, just probably like us, then David became angry because of the Lord's outburst against Uzzah. And he called that place to this day Perez Uzzah. David was afraid of God that day, saying, "How can I bring the ark of God home to me and to the people?" So David did not take the ark with him to the city of David, but he took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Thus the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months, and the Lord blessed the family of Obed-Edom with all that they had. That family, they were Gentiles. They weren't even Jews. And when, can you imagine them bringing that in to their home? David bringing that, it just killed a guy, and he's going to let this sit in their home and be in their house? I think you would straighten your act up big time. And apparently they did, and they honored God, and they honored the ark, and they were blessed. They were blessed because they honored the presence of the Lord within their house, within their family. And you say, well, why did that guy have to die? Because that's what I said. And as you study more and you see, you understand that God has a certain order that is set in place. And that David, if he was going to make it as a king and move forward, he had to get into the place of understanding who God was, seeking God with all of his heart, and being able to get instructions from God and not from men. And so you see in chapter 15 where he brings it in, and they dance, and you know the story where he's dancing and his wife is embarrassed of him. Can I tell you this? When people seek the presence of God, many times other people will be embarrassed because of your outburst. Now, if it's a focus on you, it's wrong and drawing attention away from God. But if it's totally upon God and that's your heart, then you need to release your heart onto the Lord. You need to release your dance onto the Lord. You need to release your song onto the Lord. Sometimes we've wandered so far away from just being in His midst that we're mixing, mingling everything that we learn in our mind more than within our heart. You see, one of the things that was really about David was he wanted God to receive all the glory and all the honor. I believe that we're living in a day. There's great ministries and great churches, but we're living in a day where people are more concerned about building and honoring a man than they are God. We're living in a day that we're listening more to rhetoric being spoken than dependence upon the word of the Lord and what God is saying. We're living in a day to go forward, we have to hunger for the presence of God in our homes, in our individual lives. Just don't fill your mind up with a bunch of knowledge. We want to be full with the knowledge of God, but we want to be those who hunger and thirst after Him. We want to be full of Him. And so if there's anything even today I want to challenge you with, is that to be a people of His presence. I believe we're in an Elijah generation. I really do. Elijah called it out. And he knew the wickedness. Ahab and Jezebel and that whole thing that was taking place. And because he stood as a burning torch, he was able to help a generation. God said this to all of us, that he was going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Unless he would set what? A curse on the earth. We have to be a people of his presence. What does it look like? What does it mean? I believe that we're beginning to seek that out. We're beginning to establish worship more than just on Sunday and Tuesday. It was awesome this morning, but you know what? You cannot depend upon Michael Johnson to lead you into the presence of God just twice a week or once a week. It's got to be that you have your own time with God. It's great to have a vessel like that, but every one of us have to cultivate that, the song of the Lord within us. I guarantee you, when things start shaking, we're not going to be We're not going to be worried about all the luxuries that we have. We're going to be concerned about our relationship with Jesus and knowing Him. If we have the presence of the Lord within us, we can then, just like Elijah, be a witness, a burning lamp unto people that are around us. God's calling you. If you come back here or not, if you attend this ministry or if you don't, I can tell you this, God's calling you to radical separation onto the ways of God. He is. He's trying to get the message out. To let your heart be free and to follow after Him. There is a crisis in the land. But the Lord also promises us that He will reveal His glory and the greatness of God will show up. And I'll tell you what, I'm at a place right now that if I don't have the Lord's presence, if He doesn't show up, what do we really have that we haven't already had? How many of you are desperate for Him to come? We need Him to show up, to shake us, to move us. He does that. It's not over. And He says that He will. I believe He's going to bring us from a place of rhetoric into a place of true reality in His Word and in His midst. Again, avoid seeking the glory. Always give it to God. Always give it to God. We were talking about it and singing about it. To know the love of God will change our path and our direction. Our time, our money, everything that we do. How do you view that? How do you view going hard after God? How do you view your reputation? How do you view it? Are you more concerned about your reputation or loving God? Of sharing God? Again, I'm challenging you. I'm encouraging you, but challenging you. When we encounter love, it changes everything in our life. When we sit long enough to encounter God and His love begins to rain down on us, it changes everything in our life. Everything that we do every day, it changes everything. The love of God brings His glory, brings His power, brings His presence. The love of God is not absent from those things. It positions us. It positions us to encounter a measure of His presence. I won't be satisfied until God is burning in our midst. I cannot be. I will not be. Whatever it takes, we have to get into that mindset and that heart set. Whatever it takes, I'm going to seek the Lord with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And be okay to say that in front of folks. You know, if you're really operating in love, then you can make all kinds, not willingly, but you can stumble and make those mistakes, and real love will just embrace you back and get you right back on the path. I believe God, and when I say I believe, it's from the Word. I believe in the Word God is saying, consecrate your life unto Him. Separate your life unto Him. Do whatever it takes that you can worship. Surround yourself with worship. Whether you embrace the house of prayer or you don't, surround in your home, wherever you're at, make sure that there's worship available and it's playing around you. It changes everything. The house of prayer, intercession going. Some people struggle with the house of prayer, and I kind of scratch my head on that one. Maybe it's sometimes how people go about it, but I scratch my head on that one because we're wanting just to worship and be before the Lord and pray. What's wrong with that? If we can have a place that's burning with worship and prayer, why would we not want to be involved in that? Why would we not want to give to that? And that's what David was doing. David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant so that the presence of God could be in the tabernacle. The tabernacle of David means the government of God. When God's presence is in our midst, He begins to govern and move us. So we've got to be a people that invite and desire God's presence more than anything. Not just on Sunday, but throughout our whole week, our whole month, our lifetime. We've got to be able to lay some things down that are in the way of our vision. What is the vision God's given you? What is the vision God's given us? When I talk about rhetoric and reality, this is the thought that comes to my mind. Many times ministries will say, oh, did you see what they're doing down there? Man, they got this program. It is happening. And man, that place is growing. And so, really, it's kind of like in that chapter 13. David didn't really ask God. He asked everybody else. And what's everybody going to say to David? He just became king of Israel. Everybody's going to say, yeah, sounds like a good idea, David. Because they want to be on his side. They want to be with him. But a lot of times we see things going on in the body of Christ and we said, if we could just be like them, and if we could have that program, then, you know, things could take off. First and foremost, before being like anybody, and then you don't really want to be like anybody, is to seek first the kingdom and the Savior and the Lord and the love and burn with his presence. And his message, what message is he formulating inside of you? Again, this all connects to love. It all connects to worship and praise. And God's, again, he's preparing you. This is a preparation season for folks to be ready. And you know, like this morning, sometimes we're so stuck in the mud that even when a little joy starts to break out, we're kind of like, I don't know. Come on. You will act like an animal over a Michigan game. Yeah. You'll go crazy. Yeah, we've heard that forever. I'm just saying this, guys. I'm saying that God is so in love with you that he wants to do whatever he can to get your attention. He will allow you to go through a tough time. I mean, look at this. David's got the music going. He's got everything happening. They're dancing. They're singing. And they're moving. They're ready to go. The Ark of the Covenant. And because the oxen stumble, one guy touches it because he didn't. Here's what happened. They did not carry the Ark of the Covenant according to the commandment that God gave Moses. Okay? God's given us commandments. And so they're going for it, and boom, it blows the whole thing. The party's over. It's done. And David is what? He's angry, and what else? Scared. He's afraid. When things don't go exactly like we thought they would go and should go with God, and God puts us in a change, and we're going from one season to another season, and things just aren't as comfortable as they once were, sometimes we get angry, sometimes we get afraid. But what did he do? He took the presence of God. I just get blown away by this again. And he put it in a family's house, a Gentile house. And what happened? They got blessed. I think that there is a message there. When the presence of God is in your house, you will be blessed. It doesn't matter. That's why the presence is so at the top of my list, that we need him. I've heard every excuse from myself and from others of why we don't seek him and spend time with him. And I'll be honest, I'm not trying to be legalistic, but I can tell you, we are consumed with luxury. We are consumed with having the best. We are consumed. And all I'm saying is this. God wants to take your world and he wants to turn it upside down so that you are consumed with him. That's what he wants to do. And he's asking you, can you reach out to me? My arms are open. He's asking you to be a people of his presence, to cultivate that in your life, to begin to worship. God wants to, I put this down, God wants to display his son God wants to display his son, people, in the midst of a perverse generation that we're living in. You start swaying and just being just compromising every little thing. You start letting Christians that are so judgmental affect you. You're going to get taken out. You're going to focus on what all these people are saying. But when you're in the love of God, in the presence of God, you can go and do almost anything. And you can have peace. And you can have the right word to share with them if they're coming at you in an angry way. It doesn't take long to talk to an individual or a couple or whatever and find out what is their passion. Just in a small amount of time, you can begin to see it bubble up. And when someone doesn't have it, you want to pray for them and help them and get them into the presence of God. And pray that the presence of God would come. If we do not have God to break in to our meetings, not to say there hasn't been miracles, not to say there hasn't been times of him being in our midst, because there's been some great times. But sometimes when there's a great moment, you kind of go off from it. I want a great moment. I want to press in more and have another great moment with God. And when I say a great moment, it's just being in the glory and the presence of the living God. And I want to see us be that type of people. I'm not going to be satisfied till God is resting in our midst. Amen. And you know, you can say, well, maybe that's not for now, for soon. Hey, why not now? Why not seek it out with everything you got? Why not get radical for the ways of God? Why not stand up and let the love of God just illuminate through your life? Why not surround your life with worship that's genuine and real? Why not be enamored by the man Christ Jesus in the Word of God? All right. Well, let me just go back. I guess I should go back to the story of King David. One was successful, one was not successful. I already said this, but until God's manifest presence is more in the church, until God's manifest presence is more in the body of Christ, nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to change. I think our lack of not knowing how much we need his presence. We need the Holy Spirit. It's dwelling in us to be released. We can't achieve God's vision for us if we don't have God at the center of who we are. We can't go forward with the joy of the Lord and the fiery love of God if we don't have his presence. And that's why it's so important that every church across this land becomes a people of God's presence. You see, it's never been about making us great. It's always been about making him great and giving him glory. It's about making his name great. And we need to take our place in his presence. It's not about a position. It's about abiding. This is the last thing. You see, a great awakening is coming. And as far as I can read, that in this great awakening, God's going to demonstrate his power and his glory. And guess who he's going to do it through? The church. You and I. There's going to be an open heaven season. And we need to believe and ask and know that we'll shine. David, everything was going well. But it was a little bit too casual for God. Carrying the ark was a little bit too casual. It was just kind of, it wasn't really according to the Lord. David didn't ask. What's the quickest way that we can get it there? Let's get a cart. Put it on a cart. Forget about the poles. You see what I'm saying? What's the quickest way we can get to 300 people, 500 people in the church? Michael, why don't you come on up and we're going to close out here. I guess I could say it like this. I believe that there are no, this is kind of more a little bit, I want it to be a positive message for you guys. But I guess there's no shortcuts to God's glory. I guess that's the best way I can put it. There isn't. And we definitely, when you come in here, we want you to be challenged to go deeper after God and to know Him. It's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take energy. It's going to take time. It's going to take money. And it's going to take some laying down of your reputation. So, whose kingdom do we want to establish? Not ours, but His. Why don't you stand? That second time David came into the city with the Ark of the Covenant, he got pretty wild, didn't he? It says, thus all Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the horn, with trumpets, with loud sounding cymbals, with harps and lyres. This is 15, verse 28, and then 29 says, it happened when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that his wife, daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and celebrating. And she despised him in her heart. Let's just wait a minute. Let's just pray. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Lord, I'm asking for every man and woman in this place. I'm asking that you will lead us and guide us and teach us how to be more of a people of your presence and be in your presence. I thank you for the blood of Jesus that you've made a way for us. But Lord, I also know that there's a willingness that we have to have in you and in ourselves. And so I'm asking right now, is how I've prayed for the last 3 days, that no one would run, and that we would desire to know Him in a deeper way. That we would be a prepared people, burning lamps with a message. And that the yes in our heart would arise even in this moment. I know that all of us, as I pray, I just know that all of us are at different places in our journey. But Lord, I want to open the altar right now. And I want to ask for those that just want to be prayed for, that have this longing to be consecrated even more onto you, that are struggling right now and they feel the yes in their heart, that they're not worshiping or doing things to please men or women, but they're doing it for you, that today that yes and that moment could shift, that the presence of the Lord would arise within us. Lord, our young people all throughout this region, they need to experience the fire of God and the presence of the Lord. Lord, help us not give up on that or reduce your presence to a formula. But Lord, let us cry out that you would come, that you would inhabit the praises of your people, that you would begin to move, because we cry out day and night saying, come, Lord Jesus, come. Holy Spirit, have your way. Create hunger in us to know your word. Bring healing to us today, Lord. Shift our thoughts and our ways that we would be a hungry people. So I'm just asking, God, would you come? Just rain down. If anyone is in here that just wants to come up and be prayed for, because we need more of you, Lord. We need more of you. Just come up. And we will pray in agreement. Just want pastors and healing team and prophetic, just come up and minister to anyone that comes up here. Lord, just we're going to wait a little bit. You love them so, so much. Overwhelm them with your love, God. We don't want to remain the same. We want to change because of you. Not because of wounds and hurts and circumstances. We want to change because of you, Jesus.
your presence. We're longing. Holy Spirit, just rain down and touch us today. Holy Spirit, come. Stir up in us. That we would be a people of one thing. To love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Help us to detach, Lord, from mixing and mingling our minds with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And may our hearts be connected to the tree of life. Let's just wait a minute, just pray and just ask the Lord to come and speak to you. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Have your way today, I pray. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. Lord, today I ask that we would be able to dream again and sing the songs. It's not over. That we would be refreshed in you. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Father, we're thankful that you made a way through the blood of the Lamb to dwell in your people. But Lord, we want more of you. So stir our hearts today. How? We ask the question, how can we bring more of your presence in the midst of your people? Yes. More of you, Lord. Lord, I ask that you would touch everyone, that you would saturate them, that you would encourage them, that you would bring forth peace in the midst of a storm. I ask, Lord, that no one would leave out of here without a deeper hunger to know you. Lord, that we would decrease from the pleasures of Babylon and increase in a set apart, sanctified life in you, to love you and to know you. I ask that men and women in this place today would be fire carriers, that they would demonstrate with fire and power the glory of God, knowledge of God in the midst of your people. It's what I'm asking. There's so many of us in this room. We're called to cry out. If our visions have gotten off from you and your glory, and on the pleasures of this world, I ask that you draw us back, God, as we say yes. That no longer would our visions be attached to the pleasure and comfort of the here and now, but you would become more important. Raise up the Elijahs in this room that can turn the hearts because of their love. Raise up the fathers and the mothers in this room to go after a generation. Lord, we have the Abrahams in here, the Isaacs and the Jacobs. Bless them and use them for your glory. Take another moment. Just stay centered on Him.
And I will take hold.
I will take hold of you.
You are the source. You are
Jesus, you are the source of life.
Of life. And I will stand behind no one else.
No one else.
To do. And I will take hold of you. Cause I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Capture me with grace. I will follow you.
Yes, Lord. Well, Lord, I ask for a blessing upon all those that have come this morning. I ask, God, that you be with them as they go. I ask that your word would even become more alive in their lives each and every day. Thank you for the journey. Thank you for the ground that's been taken. But we also know, Lord, that there's more, and there's more of you to experience. So we need you. We ask that you would go with everyone, and that hunger would arise, the currency of God in our hearts, that our hunger would arise to know you more, to be intimate with you. I ask, God, that you would give dreams and visions, and that your house of prayer would be established, that all of our worship times, that you would be in the center of them, and that we would be overwhelmed by you. As Michael sung, that we would pray and we'd laugh and cry, but the joy of the Lord would be in us. So I just thank you for this day, this wonderful day. Thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for, I believe it's going to be 60 tomorrow. Thank you for that. We just love you. You are definitely in control. We want to trust your leadership as you lead us forward. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you guys. I'm going to speak about this again on Tuesday night at the meeting place. Go in peace. May you be challenged in the ways of God. May you ask the Lord. Ask the Lord, Lord, I want to be an individual of your presence. Show me, what do I need to do? Even more than what you heard today. You guys are awesome.